HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Hi, I'm Ashutosh Garg. I am the author of the best-selling book, The Brand Called You. And this is our podcast, Be Brand Wise, where I bring you the stories of successful people and brands from around India and around the world. Here is a great chance to gain insights into how to build big businesses and what mistakes can and should be avoided. Not only is this podcast the brainchild of the brand called You, it is also an HT Smartcast original, and it is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform.
Today we have a really accomplished entrepreneur who was a manager earlier. Poornima Vardhan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Poornima is the founder and CEO of 335th. She was an investment banker. She's an MBA from Wharton. And she was at LSE and from St. Stephen's. So Poornima, tell me a little bit about your early career.
You know, in my earlier life, as I like to call it, I was an out-and-out maths and finance professional. So in my undergraduate, I studied mathematics from St. Stephen's. Then I went on to do applicable mathematics, which is operational research, from the London School of Economics. And then after that, I was working in Ernst & Young for a period of about 2 years, where I was looking at sort of standard operating procedures for building businesses. So basically the building blocks of any business. And then I went on to study finance and accounting at Wharton. And after that, I think one of the things that I really was interested in was accounting and finance. So I started working with UBS Investment Bank in the M&A team in New York. And, you know, after that, that was sort of my previous life. And after that, I sort of took a call that I always wanted to start my own business. And I was looking for ideas. And I think the consumer space at that time in India was very interesting, because obviously the consumer preferences, the disposable income and all the economic, you know, the macro data is really in favor of the consumer segment in India. And I think that's a space that I personally find very interesting. So I sort of decided to leave my job and then move back and sort of work on my own business.
You moved back and you set up 335th.
Yeah.
Fascinating name.
Thank you.
Tell me about the name.
You know, I am a numbers person, first of all. So I love numbers. I love numbers a lot more than I like names. So I think when I was thinking of a name, I was looking at, you know, I wanted something more global, because it's something that I want to look at from a global perspective, not just an Indian perspective. I wanted a gender neutral name, because also, like, we would be expanding into different segments, etc. So I always wanted that. And so 335th was the address at where I sort of took that decision that, you know, I'm going to actually quit my job and sort of start my entrepreneurial journey. So I think that's the essence and that's the significance of 335th.
You know, when I first saw 335th, I thought it was misleading, because, you know, you were in the US. I thought this was something from, you know, 35th and 3rd or something. You know, very Manhattan kind of.
It is very Manhattan, because it was in New York at the time, because I was living in New York.
Yeah.
But, you know, it also has a very, as I said, like, it's a very global name. It's a very, and also from a marketing perspective, it's a much more recallable name. Even though people butcher the name, they call it 365, 355 and all that. But they still remember 335th. You know, they remember that there's a brand called 335th, versus if I call it Poornima, or, you know, it's a slightly more common name. So I find it very interesting. So that was the reason behind calling it 335th.
Very interesting. The brand has evolved ever since you started. How are you positioning your brand now?
Yes. When we started, we wanted to focus on sort of the office wear market that we started with. However, over the last 5 years that, you know, we've been in business, I've understood the market really well. And I think what we are looking at doing is we're sort of looking at the Indian ethnic wear women's market. And it's a $15 billion market today.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a $50 billion market in the next 20 years. And then, so, you know, that's really the soft spot for us. And we're looking at establishing and creating a bridge to luxury brand in that segment, specifically for women's wear. That's what we're targeting.
So help me understand, what is the meaning of bridge to luxury?
So, you know, right now, although in the last 15 to 20 years that all the growth we've seen in the consumer side for apparel has been in the sort of 2000 to 8000 rupees range, which is, so below 2000, we call it the mass range, which is at 2000 to 8000 is the premium. So what we're targeting is bridge to luxury, sort of, it's a luxurious experience. It's a fashion forward experience where, you know, one of the problems in India, or one of the things that's missing in the Indian fashion scene or the apparel scene, is that what you see on the ramp is not really reaching the masses. And we want to change that. We want to connect the ramp to the road, as we call it. And, you know, so really bringing people to sort of try and, you know, wear things that they see on the ramp and on a slightly more bigger mass scale than just, you know, just celebrities or like the top 1 or 5.5% of the country. And I think that's what the idea behind Bridge to Luxury is. Our price points remain between 10,000 to about 40,000 rupees. And that's like the segment that we are targeting.
Interesting. I've been involved in building brands.
Yeah.
And, you know, brands are very, very tough to build.
Very tough.
What have been some of your challenges as you've built 335th? I mean, you didn't mention people massacred the name.
You know, I think the biggest challenge is building a brand, as you would know, takes a lot of time.
Correct.
It's not something you can build overnight, you know. You can get PR and you can do all of that, but that's like one-off, you know, or even on a consistent basis, but building a brand takes years. And I think that's been, and I'm an impatient person because, you know, just today,
correct,
our generation is such that we look at like,
you're a person in a hurry.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's been the biggest learning, that, you know, it's not something that can be done overnight. And that's why brands create such a, once you create that brand, you can charge such a premium, even, not just in terms of pricing, but even in terms of valuation and looking at the kind of exits that internationally fashion or, you know, retail has been getting. So, you know, it's very tough. It's a long-term game. I think the way to think about it is that building a brand is a long-term game. It's not for people who are looking at a short-term, you know, coming to the business and sort of exit. It's not something that's going to happen, which we've seen, because that's the reason why a lot of e-commerce companies that started in the space have already crashed and burned. Because this is a long, like, this is a 15 to 20 year business horizon. So anyone who's interested in doing a little less, like, I would not recommend. And I get a lot of people asking, you know, they want to start a business, and I tell them the same thing, that, you know, if you're interested in this segment in the fashion of business, or in the business of fashion, then you're looking at a long-term horizon, because that's the amount of time it takes to create a brand and sort of get that, you know. So I think that's the biggest learning that I've had.
And, you know, talking of fashion, now fashion is constantly evolving, constantly changing. How do you manage to stay ahead of the curve? I mean, you know, suddenly you have different colors, suddenly you have different styles, suddenly something changes.
You know, it's very interesting when you talk about fashion in India. So the one thing that in India we don't have is we don't have trends according to that specific season. Mm-hmm. So if you compare the Indian market versus the international market actually moves very fast, because you have seasons and everyone buys according to that season. India doesn't, you don't have that problem in India, and you don't have that kind of behavior in India, because people are looking when they invest, you know, most of the high ticket buying happens around events, so marriages and functions and social
festivals,
events, social gatherings, festivals, etc. You know, one is obviously there are certain trends, so you have all of that, like all those are research reports, and you can do a lot of research on what is going on in the international market versus Indian market. Also, we are very strong on season. So in India, it's so hot most of the year that there's certain color palettes that work. And also, so, you know, we have our own sense of style, we have our own aesthetic, we have our own sort of language of design, and we incorporate changes based on the seasons, based on certain festivals, based on who we're targeting. And, you know, we experiment a little bit, so that's how we really stay ahead of the game.
And, you know, over the last 2 decades, I mean, there is, of course, the traditional set of office wear that all people do wear. But has this evolved or changed over the last 2 decades? Because I certainly see young people, I have no knowledge of fashion, but I certainly see, well, you know, much more Western influence coming into office wear.
You know, there are a couple of things. I think there are a lot of changes. First of all, I think this is also very lifestyle related. Western wear, it's easy to iron, it's easy to manage, just like the West. So, you know, now that people are moving away from homes, they're getting, you know, they're working in corporate offices in, for example, Gurgaon. They don't have that kind of time to sort of, or there's no one at home to help them, you know, because cotton kurtas, they take a lot of, you know, keeping and stuff. So I think Western influence is just coming in through a price sensitivity. So you can create something which is much cheaper. So, you know, the fast fashion models really hit India as well, because India is a very value-conscious market. So, you know, that works really well for India. And I think that's one of the reasons that sort of you've seen this change in the way people are dressing. Secondly, I think just the lifestyle changes that we've had now, people have to take a metro, they have to, you know, they have to travel and it's, you know, just cruising, etc. It's much easier and practical to wear all of that kind of stuff. Having said that, do I think that Indian ethnic wear will be less because Western influence? I don't think so. I think there's also, it's very strongly entrenched in our system. It's also like, I feel more comfortable wearing a salwar kurta to a meeting than sometimes, you know, like, so I think different kind of, I think, demographic, different kind of jobs, different kind of lifestyle sort of dictate what kind of clothes you're wearing.
Correct. And a couple more questions on 335 before I move on. How do you see the rural customer adapting aspirationally to 335th?
So I obviously I'm a city girl, right? I've been born and raised in Delhi. I've lived in London and I've lived in New York and I've lived in Philly for a little bit of time. So I, you know, when the sort of this talk about tier 2, tier 3 cities come, when I started, I had no idea. Like, I really had no idea, but I'm constantly amazed at the kind of potential, the kind of aspiration and the kind of interest people have. Even the smaller cities, so I'll give you a very small example. You know, we have a point of sale in Siliguri. And it does fabulously for us. It does better than, you know, Kolkata does for us, you know. So it's like, I think you just have to find the right distribution points. It's sort of, also it takes a lot of trial and error. So I think it's, I wouldn't call it rural actually, because they're actually really urban. It's not the rural.
Yeah.
Rural has become tier 6 now.
Yeah.
So you're looking at Ranchi, you're looking at Bhopal, you're looking at Raipur, you're looking at Nagpur. These are all cities with a lot of, and we have distribution in all these cities. And it's there is a lot of capacity to consume certain kind of luxury products, especially if you give them really good service. I think that's something that, you know, people have, brands have not been able to do actually, offer them style, offer them at an affordable price point, but also offer them a certain service that people like, you know. And we do that, and we do fabulously well in these cities. I was myself amazed at the kind of response in these smaller cities, Jaipur, Udaipur. But, you know, I'm amazed. And I think there's a huge potential that, you know, I think we're already working towards, and we have distribution points in a lot of these cities. But I really think that the real growth is going to come out of there. You know, India, in Delhi, Bombay, these are very saturated cities, and there's a lot of competition and there's a lot of market. But some of the smaller cities, people are not targeting. And I think those are very interesting for us as a distribution point.
Interesting.
They are price conscious and value conscious though. So, I mean, only one person may buy something upwards of a 25 lakh rupee garment. Mm-hmm. But like if you price it right between, I say, 10 and 40, I think, I personally think there's a lot of, absolutely.
Yes. So, put up one more question, and that's about millennials.
Yeah.
You know, how are millennials changing the fashion business or the bridge to luxury business?
You know, it's interesting. So we work in the Indian ethnic wear market, and I think not a lot of it has changed because of the millennials. Yeah, you can add a little bit of more styling and trims and trims, etc. But otherwise, I think it's very interesting that the Indian ethnic wear market specifically has been foolproof. Like, there have been very little changes. Yeah, the silhouettes have changed and colors have changed. People have stopped, you know, most of the weddings are now day weddings. So people have stopped wearing very
heavy stuff.
Heavy, dark colored, ornate stuff which used to be there. There is a certain segment that still wears that. But however, like, the general broader trend is toward lighter, you know, softer colors, pastels, etc. So in that context, I think the Indian ethnic wear market, which is still remains the same and is just growing, you know, actually very synonymous to the regional newspaper market. You know, that is not, you know, because just because newspapers, English newspapers are not being consumed in the same way, that doesn't mean that regional newspapers are in fact doing much better.
Right.
It's the same, I think, with the Indian ethnic wear market, where everyone's consuming now because there's a lot more disposable income. People are aspirational. So the one interesting thing that has changed because of the millennials is they're very aspirational, you know. They just don't want to go to Chandni Chowk and pick up something or something, but they want a certain kind of quality. They want a certain kind of service. They want to, you know, they want to go to a store. They want to feel, they want to have that experience when they're buying something from a brand. I think that is really changing, you know.
Correct.
Earlier, people used to make their own clothes, etc. But now, you know, the hassle of doing all of that, it's very expensive. Secondly, I think people are really looking for the experiences, you know. So I think that has changed because of the millennials.
Well, that's very well said. Poonama, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You know, it's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I wish 335th huge amount of success.
Thank you.
And as you mentioned, I sincerely hope you never see any failure.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Brand Called You, and never miss any update. For feedback, reach us on at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. To listen to more podcasts by The Brand Called You, log on to www.htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.